I'm so sorry. I forgot to say to wish you a good luck for your podcast award. So I'll be with you there in my with my mind. So have a good luck and hope you win. So big kiss. Bye.
Hello and welcome everybody to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. This is episode 107. I'm Reza.
And I'm Craig. Hello.
How are you, Craig?
Very well, thank you.
Well now, if you're a new listener, you're very welcome to this award-winning podcast. With over 40 years of teaching experience between Craig and I, we hope we can help you improve your English and take it to the next level. We can help you grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation. In this episode, we're going to help you communicate more effectively when you go to the doctor, something which we all have to do at some stage.
So we have some feedback this week from Alfredo from Italy. Reza, do you remember Alfredo who sent us a voice message in the past?
I do. How are you? Buongiorno, Alfredo. good afternoon. How are you?
It's very, very nice to hear from you again, Alfredo. And here is Alfredo's message.
Hi, Greg and Reza. I am Alfredo from Italy. I have already sent you a vocal message. First of all, thank you for your huge podcasts. I listen to them every week. It is a real pleasure to listen to you and your lessons. I would like to share a thought. It could be funny, but I want to ask you, why not you could come to Italy collecting Italian people who like to practice English, giving them opportunity of a full English immersion? For example, you could spend your holidays in Italy with a group of Italian learnings. We give you money for your course, for your experience, for your English. And we stay together speaking English. They could be 5-6 days in a beautiful Italian place. You earn money and Italian vacation. And we have the happiness to stay with you, listening to you, learning your English. Okay, this is my thought. Thank you for listening to me. Bye-bye.
So, what do you think? Do you feel like going to Italy for a while and teaching English and enjoying Italian food and everything that Italy can offer? Does that sound like something you would want to do?
Yes, it does. Alfredo, I've never been to Italy before, and I'd love to go. It sounds like a great idea to me.
Yep, I think it would definitely be something I would think about doing. sign us up. Sign me up. Yeah. Definitely put me down for that. Maybe, Alfredo, if you could get together a group of students for us to teach, and we would come along and teach them. And you keep the money and your mother feeds us pasta. How does that sound?
Yeah, but we want the recipe of your mama, because we know that every Italian mama is a great cook. And
every day, if you fed me lasagna and tiramisu, I will be more than happy to teach you all the English you want.
Me too.
Did Alfredo make any mistakes, Reza?
Alfredo, your English was very good, but there were a couple of things. I think you meant to talk about Italian learners, people who learn, but you said learning, I think. No, Italian learners, students are learners.
Yeah, you could also say Italian students.
Students, yeah. Yeah. But apart from that, it was very, very good.
Thank you for your feedback, Alfredo.
Now, we already spoke about some health vocabulary in a previous episode. That was episode 42 of inglespodcast.com. So if you go to inglespodcast.com/42, 42, you'll see a bit of health vocabulary. But we'd like to just go a bit deeper and perhaps be a bit more detailed in this episode about that.
Yeah, the reason for that is because I've recently been to the doctor because I have a boil on my neck. And I didn't know what boil was in Spanish. Do you know?
I'm not sure. What is it?
Basically, in English, a boil is like a very big, ugly spot, grano. But in the dictionary, it says that boil is furúnculo.
I didn't know that word.
It's an inflamed, red, tender wound, herida, weeping pus, which is disgusting and horrible. And it's really, really painful. So I had to go to the doctor, and because of this, I was using my bad Spanish to communicate to the doctor where the pain was, how severe or how bad the pain was. And obviously, you know, it's good if you know in English how to describe symptoms and how to speak to the doctor when you have a pain or when you have something wrong with you. So that's the reason for this episode, revisiting health and getting sick.
And I can tell the listeners that Craig actually has a bandage on covering that boil.
How do you say bandage in Spanish?
It's bendaje. Mm-hmm. Bendaje.
So not to be confused with plaster, which is tirita.
Tirita. So Craig, because of his boil, has had to cover it with a bandage. I can see he's wearing a bandage today.
Yeah, it's much better now, but it was for a week, it was really, really painful. It actually kept me awake at night. So obviously, at some point, I saw that it wasn't getting better. So I went to the doctor. But before I went to the doctor, I had to make an appointment. So that's a useful expression. You phone the doctor to make an appointment and say, I'd like to make an appointment to see Dr. Smith, for example. I'd like to make an appointment.
Craig, you said your boil was weeping.
Weeping, yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, weeping is a synonym of crying, isn't it? If you weep, you cry. It's not so common, not as common as cry, but it means to weep, which means tears come out of your eyes or out of your body. So similarly, if fluid is coming out of your body anyway, you could say that it's weeping, especially if it's a wound. Mm-hmm. So a wound that's weeping, blood or pus.
It's coming out, but kind of slowly, yeah?
Yeah,
so gradually. bleeding blood is not weeping, no?
No, it's kind of slow. If you bleed, then the blood comes out quite quickly.
Yeah.
But if it weeps, it comes out a lot more slowly, you're right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you can weep when you're sad from your eyes, or if you have a boil, like Craig at the moment on his neck, you can weep through another part of your body.
Yeah.
Two types of weep.
Of course, when boil is a verb, it's hervir. I'm boiling water. I'm boiling boiling some soup. But when it's a noun, it's furúnculo. Uh-huh.
And you said you were weeping pus. In Spanish, pus, I know, but in English you pronounce it pus. And if something has a lot of pus, it's pussy.
That's right.
Don't say pussy. Pussy's another thing. It's a little cat.
Yeah, a kitten.
So Craig's wound is pussy.
So it might be useful when you go to the doctor, I hope you never have to, but it might be useful to know some words to describe pain. So what's the adjective of pain?
Well, the most obvious word is painful.
It's a painful boil.
So we just add the suffix F-U-L, pain, painful. What other words can you think of, Craig?
Well, the opposite of painful is painless.
Ah, of course. Another suffix, less means without, full means with something, right?
Exactly. You could say that something is sore, S-O-R-E, exactly the same pronunciation as the past of to see, so sore and sore.
If you're English, yes.
If you're
Irish, it's not. But according to Oxford...
Wait, what's different? What's different? The S-A-W saw or the S-O-R-E saw?
Okay, spell a word and I'll say it.
S-A-W.
Saw.
S-O-R-E.
Sore.
That's very different.
Yeah.
Interesting. For me, it's exactly the same. Sore.
Yes. Okay. Craig's pronunciation is much closer to standard English.
So if something's sore, te molesta, like you have a sore throat, if you have a cough or a cold or you smoke too many cigarettes, your throat is sore. You can have a sore arm or sore hand or sore part of your body, which means te molesta. Stronger pain, you could say that it's agonizing pain, mm-hmm. Which was how my boil was the first two or three days. Similar to if something's sore, you could describe it as an ache, which is not as strong as a pain, is it? If something's aching.
Yeah, generally pain sounds more annoying, more problematic than ache. And also pains often occur as the result of accidents. So they might be possibly more short term, but more extreme. Whereas an ache, if something is aching, it tends to be identified with something that you've had for a long while, perhaps, or so you don't notice it so much now, or something that isn't so severe.
Right. And of course, parts of your body, when they ache, combine with the word ache to make compound nouns. For example, toothache, backache, earache. Can you think of any more? Headache.
Headache. Yeah. Bellyache.
Stomachache.
My favorite.
Your favorite word.
My favorite.
Yep. And so there are some verb phrases that we can use to describe pain. For example, you could say to your doctor, it hurts, H-U-R-T-S. My knee hurts, my elbow hurts, my tooth hurts.
What if you wanted to say that it really, really hurts? What might you say?
It's killing me. Me está matando. It's killing me. My arm is killing me. My leg is killing me. It's really, really bad.
Apart from it hurts or it aches, can you think of any other verbs which are a more specific kind of pain?
You could to describe pain, you could have, for example, a stinging pain. To sting is picar. So, for example, if there's a bee or a wasp or a mosquito, a mosquito bites you,
mosquitoes
doesn't it?
Mosquitoes bite, I think.
Yeah, but mosquitoes bite like a dog, but bees and wasps sting you. Mm-hmm. So you could say it's a stinging pain or just it stings.
And what about it smarts? If something smarts, you say, "Oh, that wound smarts."
How would you say that? How would you explain that? S-M-A-R-T-S. Because smart means nice as an adjective, like a smart suit or a smart dress. But it smarts, to smart as a verb?
I would say that it refers to pain which is not very intense, but present, enough to annoy you, would you
mm-hmm.
say?
Mm-hmm.
So it might not be from a very bad wound, but still you feel it. It smarts. You'll feel it for a long time, even if it's a distant kind of feeling.
Also, if you cut yourself, if you have a small cut and you put like lemon juice on it or maybe salt, then it smarts, doesn't it?
Exactly. It reminds you that the pains are perhaps you'd forgotten.
Or if you're too long in the sun and you get sunburn and you shower, it smarts because the water on your skin stings and it smarts and it's painful.
Yeah. So kind of like, yeah, it seems to be then using your examples, they're really good examples. That kind of it's when you remember you've got pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that perhaps isn't that bad, but something happens to remind you of it. Like if you get sunburn and then you shower, it smarts. If you've got a cut and you drop lemon into it, it smarts. It's kind of you remember that you've got a wound.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So pain is very subjective. I mean, the way some people feel pain and the way the doctor can perceive or understand your pain, I think is something very difficult to communicate. But there are some adjectives in English that you could use to describe the level of pain that you're feeling. Let's do this, Reza. What do you think? I'll tell you an expression, an adjective with pain. Tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 how strong you think it is.
So 1 is the weakest and 10 is the strongest.
Exactly.
Okay.
What do you think about acute pain? If I say to the doctor, it's acute pain in my knee.
About 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd agree. A gripping pain. To grip means to hold. Mm-hmm. G-R-I-P-P-I-N-G. It's a gripping pain.
About 7 or 8 again, maybe up to 9.
Quite strong, isn't it? A gripping pain. It grips you. It's so, it's so strong, it grips you. Another one, severe pain, S-E-V-E-R-E. I've got a severe pain in my back.
For me, that could quite a wide range, and it could be anything from 7 up to 10. It could be up to the maximum if it's very severe pain.
Yep, it could be, couldn't it? Agonizing, because agony is the noun, so an agonizing pain.
I would put that at 10.
Yeah, 10 because agony is a very, very strong word. Chronic pain, C-H-R-O-N-I-C. Be careful with the pronunciation. It's not tronic, it's K. It's a hard K sound. Chronic pain.
It's hard to give that a number, but I suppose an average of about 5. Because chronic pain for me, of which I'm a master actually, so I speak with some experience, is pain which never quite goes away.
It means steady for a long time then?
Yes, it means you have it for many, many weeks, months, years even. For example, if you have a bit of arthritis, like me, you suffer from chronic pain, they tell you. So it's not a very severe pain. You can forget you have it quite often, but it's always there in the background and you're not going to get rid of it. For me, that's my understanding of chronic pain.
That makes sense, because sometimes I get an attack of bronchitis, and I know there are two kinds of bronchitis. There's acute bronchitis and chronic bronchitis, and chronic is more severe. It's more permanent. So it's over a longer period.
Which one?
Chronic.
Yes, chronic, yeah. Chronic's the idea that you're not going to get rid of it or not easily.
So it doesn't mean it's stronger necessarily. It means it's more permanent.
Yes. For me, that's what chronic pain is. So certain diseases imply having chronic pain. Whereas other conditions, for example, if you cut yourself, you're going to have an acute pain, but it's not going to be chronic. When the wound heals, when it gets better, then it's gone.
It goes away. What about crippling pain? C-R-I-P-P-L-I-N-G. It's a crippling pain.
Well, if it's crippling, it cripples you. The verb to cripple, that means it disables you. You can't function properly because of it.
Disabilitar?
Yeah. So it's got to be up there 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Because it stops you functioning.
Exactly. It's so severe, it stops you functioning. It stops you doing things. Yeah, my sister had crippling back pain for a long time. Next one, burning pain. To burn is quemar, so a burning pain. There's a burning pain in my elbow.
I would find that very hard to give a number. I'm going to say that could be anything from 1 to 10. It's more the type of burning, the type of pain. It could be very severe, or it could be mild, but it means it burns. So obviously, any sensation which feels like something burning is a burning pain. It can be an agonizing burning pain, so that gets a 10, or it could be a mild, suave, a mild burning pain. I can't really give that one a number.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if you compare it with a stabbing pain, for example, what's to stab in Spanish?
Puñalar.
Puñalar.
Yeah, when you stick a knife in someone, you know, we puncture someone with a knife. Not cut in a line, but stick in and puncture.
Jack the Ripper used to stab people.
Yes, he'd stab
people.
No, he
used to strangle people.
Yeah. Well, probably a bit of everything. Yeah. So the stab is you puncture, you make a hole. So if a stabbing pain, if you can imagine like a knife going into your flesh, suddenly that would be very acute, very quick.
Yeah.
And very painful. Very, very painful.
That's but whereas a burning pain, in contrast, is more constant.
More constant, and it might be milder, and it's hard with the burning pain to say exactly where it is sometimes. You can have a burning pain down the back of your leg. That's quite... In fact, it's happened to me, so I can tell you. Imagine you have a bit of trouble with inflammation around a tendon or something. Mm-hmm. Quite often you get a burning pain. It feels like it's burning. You haven't burnt yourself, but the feeling is of warmth, of heat in an unpleasant way. It can go all the way down the back of your leg, a burning pain. Whereas a stabbing pain is like if someone stabs you, for example, it's going to be in one specified point.
A stabbing pain is a sharp pain.
A sharp pain, yeah. So it's sharp. It's agudo. Agudo. So it's in a very specified area.
And the opposite of sharp, for a knife, for example, is dull, D-U-L-L. So a dull pain would be milder, not so strong.
Yeah.
A bit weaker.
Yeah.
What about a shooting pain?
Well, to shoot someone is to fire a bullet into them. So if something's a shooting pain, I guess it's a bit like, if you can imagine, a bullet moves very quickly, obviously. So a shooting pain is a pain that we think of as kind of moving somewhere. It kind of goes from one place to another. Shoots up.
It sort of shoots.
Just like that, yeah. Can you hear sound effects? That shooting pain. Oh, stop, Craig. Craig's tasering me. I'm getting a shooting. Craig's putting a taser in me. And I'm
sitting here electrocuting Reza to demonstrate a shooting pain. So
boy, it works.
His finger is in the electricity at the moment.
Please stop electrocuting me, Craig. So when if you tasered someone, they'd certainly feel a shooting pain because the electricity would carry the pain from one part of their body to another. So like a bullet traveling very quick, a shooting pain is a pain which moves from one point to another very quick, and it's usually very severe.
Yeah. And then we mentioned sting before, from a bee or a wasp, so you can have a stinging pain. I wouldn't say that was very severe, maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7.
Yeah, not so severe, yeah.
And then a throbbing pain, to throb, throbbing. Something throbs, se va e si viene, it comes and goes, doesn't
it? Exactly.
It's a pain that comes and goes in quick succession. Yeah.
Quite often it's to do with your heartbeat, with your pulse, isn't it? Quite often every time the blood is pumped out of your heart, mm-hmm. so the blood gets to wherever you have the pain, let's say in your finger. Every time the blood gets there, you feel the pain.
Yeah.
And then for a short time, the pain disappears. Then the blood pumps again, you feel the pain. So it's with every kind of beat of your heart, quite often you feel the pain because your heart throbs.
Also, if you imagine a toothache, sometimes if you have a bad tooth, then the pain comes and goes in quick succession. So it's a throbbing pain in your mouth. So the next one is unbearable, an unbearable pain. If you can bear something, it's aguantar, isn't it?
Yes.
I can't bear it. No aguanto. Mm-hmm.
So if something's an unbearable pain, it's so severe, you just can't bear it. So it's got to be on a scale of
It's got to be
or
9
10.
Or 10, hasn't it? It's got to be at the top there, an unbearable. I can't bear it. I can't stand it. No lo soporto. Yeah.
Quite often this collocation is used to describe other things. Many occasions in my life, people have referred to me as an unbearable pain in the neck. not like pain, not like Craig's pain in the neck, a medical condition, but a very, very irritating person.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Unbearable pain in the neck.
And maybe coming down the scale a bit, a dull ache. We said that dull is the opposite of sharp, so yeah. Dull is más suave.
Yeah, so under 5, yeah, quite a moderate.
It's like a molestia, isn't it, a dull ache?
A dull ache.
It's there, it's hurting, but it's not severe. There could be, you could have a nagging ache or a nagging pain. What does to nag mean?
Well, that's a good one, isn't it? So the verb to nag is to constantly criticize someone. So
Or tell them or ask them to do something. Like my mother often nags me about leaving my clothes on the floor. Mm-hmm. Pick up your clothes. Why don't you tidy your room? You should do this. She's constantly nagging, mm-hmm. asking me to do things, telling me to do things constantly.
Yes.
That's someone who nags.
It's kind of a stereotype, isn't it, to talk about a nagging mother, in fact. Nagging mothers and nagging wives are stereotyped as the sort of people, like mothers are always telling the children what to do and wives are always criticizing their husband, is a stereotype. They nag, you know, every day. It's never a big argument. It's just repeated and repeated and repeated many times every day, many times, repeated, repeated. So a nagging pain is a pain which is repeats. It won't go away. It just won't go away. It keeps coming back and irritating you.
Like your mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Stop nagging, Mum. Oh, do it. Stop nagging. So, Reza, what sort of questions might your doctor ask you when you go to his or her surgery? Surgery is something that a surgeon could do to you in the hospital. When you have surgery, when they cut open your body, for example. But surgery is also the name of where your family doctor or GP has his consultancy. So you go to your doctor's surgery. What does GP mean?
GP is general practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a family doctor. They practice generally, not specializing.
Or these days it could mean Google practitioner, the kind of person who Googles their symptoms to find their disease.
So what
questions could...
Well, if it's an American hospital, the very first question we might hear is, could I have your credit card number, please? But if it's not in America, if it's in the UK...
What insurance company are you with?
Yes, that might be the very first question. Or have you got insurance? Or what's your insurance cover? So they know exactly what grade. But if it's in Europe, in most countries or in other countries around the world, they'll probably say, for example, where does it hurt? Or perhaps, what seems to be the trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
They wouldn't say, how are you, would they? Because if you're...
Sometimes they do, though, don't they?
If you've gone to the doctor, then you're sick, aren't you, obviously?
But I find sometimes doctors do say that, but it's another way of saying hello. Instead of saying hello, they say, how are you? Go, oh, very well, thanks.
Why have you come to see me?
No, but it happens to me a lot. It's quite common. I think, hello, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm fine, thanks. I say, well, what seems to be the trouble? Yes, I have an agonizing pain. It sounds surreal, but it's kind of just a formality to say, how are you? Very well. And then you tell them how terrible you are.
Yeah.
It does happen, though.
Yeah, I suppose so.
When a doctor says, how are you? It's just like, hello. But when they say, where does it hurt or what seems to be the trouble, they want to know what your medical condition is.
Another question is, what are your symptoms? What are your symptoms? What things are happening with you differently that can help me diagnose or tell you what the problem is?
If the doctor isn't quite sure from listening to your symptoms what the trouble is, what might he ask you, Craig, or what might she ask you?
Well, the doctor would probably want to examine you. So do you mind if I examine you? Or I'm just going to examine you, perhaps? Mm-hmm. And then does this hurt when the doctor touches you or moves your arm or leg? Does this hurt? Do you feel any pain? Does it hurt when I do this? Those kind of things.
And sometimes it does hurt when the doctor touches, and sometimes it doesn't. But one thing you can be sure of, the doctor will have very cold hands. I don't know why, but he or she will. They'll have very cold hands, and you will find this quite shocking. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, definitely. You might be asked if you could describe the pain, which we spoke about before, different kinds of pain. Could you describe the pain, please?
And that's when you say, well, yes, I have a throbbing pain in my knee, or I have an acute pain in my back, or I have a nagging headache that won't go away, or I have an unbearable pain in my throat, or whatever.
And the doctor might ask you to lie down on the couch or on the table, on the doctor's table. So please lie down on the couch, or could you lay down, or would you mind lying down on the couch?
The doctor might, for professional reasons, say to you, could you take off your top, please? Or could you take off your trousers, please? Some item of clothing to be able to examine you. Craig, what if the doctor wanted you to take everything off and be completely naked?
Then they would ask you to strip. Mm-hmm. They're not going to play music. You're not going to hear Tom Jones or Full Monty. But can you strip, or please take off all your clothes, that kind of thing? Strip down to your underwear. Your underwear, obviously, your pants and your socks. You could hear that. Sorry.
That's a nasty cough you've got there.
Yeah, I have to go to the doctor.
I think I'm going to have to get out my stethoscope and listen to your chest there.
Make sure you warm your hands.
And Craig, what am I going to say then? Now that I've heard that cough of yours, I'm going to have to say, Craig, could you take nice, big, deep breaths for me? Could you? In.
Out.
Out.
Sorry.
Oh, that sounds like a chronic bronchitis to me.
Yeah, and the doctor, if they're checking your throat, maybe you go with the flu or a bad cough or some irritation in the throat. The doctor might ask you to say ah. So can you say ah for me, Reza?
Ah.
A bit louder?
Ah.
A bit louder?
Ah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with your voice then, sir. Your voice is okay. Have you... Another question the doctor could ask you, have you had this before? Is this the first time this has happened to you? Have you had this irritation, this pain before? When did the pain start? Obviously, the first question, present perfect, have you had this before? Second question, past simple, when did it start or when did it begin? Another present perfect, how long have you had this? So, since last month? Or for 2 weeks? Are you taking anything for it? Are you taking any medication? Are you taking any medicine? Are you allergic to any medicine? Is a very common question.
Are you, Craig?
No, I'm not. But as many far people, as I know.
Not that you know of, yeah. No common drugs. But many people are allergic to common medication, for
are you,
example.
Are you allergic to anything?
The only thing that ever gave me a reaction in my life was Frenadol, which people take just for the common cold, but it made me come out in a rash.
What does come out mean and rash?
Come out in a rash means come out, manifest, a rash, red skin.
Mm-hmm. Itchy, it's itchy, isn't it?
Itchy, the picker. Yeah, you want the
itchy. I-T-C-H-Y, itchy.
Yeah.
The picker.
And I've taken much stronger medication than that. Never had any trouble. But Frenadol, which you can buy without a prescription. Mm-hmm. You can buy over the counter. That means without a prescription. Counter is mostrador.
At the chemist.
Has given me a rash, strangely enough.
What's the noun of allergic?
The noun is allergy. To have an allergy. Do you have an allergy to any food, Craig?
No. Not that I know of. No allergies. I have no allergies that I know of.
Of course, many people do have allergies to things like peanuts.
Yeah.
And it's a medical condition. If they ate peanuts, they could be very, very severely affected and possibly even die.
Mm-hmm. Gluten, that's another allergy.
What might the doctor say to you if he needs to test things, Craig?
Well, for example, if he wants to test your blood, he would ask you for a blood test, to give a blood test. So I'm going to take some blood, or we need to take some blood, perhaps to run some tests. To run some tests means to do some tests. So we'd like to run some blood tests, or we'd like to run some tests.
Craig, very often the doctor can't say exactly what's wrong with you the first time he meets you. Or she meets you. So what might she do?
Well, if they need to run tests, then you'd have to go back, obviously, for the results. So you'd need to make a further appointment or a follow-up appointment. So you could make a further appointment for next month or next week.
Craig, has a doctor ever said to you, before they do something to you, don't worry, you won't feel a thing.
It will be over before you know it.
Have they ever said that to you?
Yeah, I've heard that. Has that happened to you?
Yeah, and then generally they do something really painful. Mm-hmm. They lie. Yes, listeners, they lie in Spanish, they lie in English, and probably lots of languages. They say it'll never hurt, but it often does hurt.
So if you hear them say, don't worry, you won't feel this, you know you will.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they admit it's going to hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they say, you may or you might feel a little prick now. And then they insert a needle. So a prick is when they puncture your skin. So a
pinchar.
Prick, pinchar. Yeah. So that feeling you have of a needle going in, it's a prick. You might feel a little prick. Craig, have you ever felt a little prick?
I felt a little prick a few times. Yeah.
I have many times in my life.
Health idioms. Let's look at some idioms connected to health. If you feel a bit off colour, Reza, what am I saying if I say to the doctor, "Doctor, I've been feeling a bit off colour lately." Mm. Does that mean my colour's changing?
No, it doesn't really mean that. It means you feel a bit poorly. It means you don't feel quite right. You feel sick. Maybe you can't quite say exactly what's wrong with you, but you, something's wrong.
Yeah.
You're not your normal self.
We spoke about rhyming slang a couple of episodes ago. Tom and Dick. If you're a bit Tom and Dick, you're...
It's Cockney for sick.
Sick, yeah. Feeling a bit Tom and Dick, Doctor. A bit poorly. I'm feeling poorly. Poor is obviously the opposite of rich.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling poorly, you're feeling bad, you're feeling under the weather. That's a nice expression. Mm-hmm. If you're under the weather, you're not 100%. Something is a bit off, a bit strange, a bit unusual. You're under the weather. You're not feeling well.
That probably comes from the idea that the weather really does affect how you feel. I can tell you, as someone who's had aches and pains for many years, because I get a little bit of arthritis, that you do really notice on cold, damp winter days that aches and pains are a little bit worse. That's probably why we have the expression under the weather. Aches and pains do feel worse in that type of weather.
So do you feel worse when you go back to Belfast and the weather is damper and colder?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Do you notice it?
Oh, yeah. And anybody I've ever known with trouble with their joints, articulations, says the same. You feel better in the Mediterranean or very dry, sunny places, and you feel worse where it's cold and damp, for sure.
So you're in the right place here.
Yep.
If you're in bad shape, also, you're... estás mal. Obviously the opposite to be in good shape, to be well and healthy. What about as right as rain? As right as rain. What does that mean? I'm feeling as right as rain.
Surprisingly, probably for most listeners, that means good. As right as rain is feeling good. No problems. Funny, because normally we associate the rain with being something irritating and annoying. But in this expression, it actually means good.
Also, if you're recovering, you are back on your feet. So to be back on your feet means to be healthy again, to recover. I'm back on my feet. I'm in the best of health.
No problems. Healthy.
No problems. Full of beans.
Again, fine, no problem.
Where's that from? I'm full of beans. Lleno de lluvias.
Alubias.
Alubias. Mm-hmm. Lleno de alubias.
I'm not sure where that comes from. But it's common, isn't it? As fit as a fiddle is another nice expression. Fiddle is another word for violin. As fit as a fiddle, strange, but it means you feel great. What about out of sorts, Craig? Is that good or bad? Out of sorts.
That's bad. You're feeling under the weather. You're not feeling yourself. Like, I'm not myself, Doctor. I'm out of sorts. Something's wrong.
In other words, you're not feeling the greatest, or you're not feeling that great, which is lovely British understatement. You probably feel terrible. You probably feel bloody awful. But British people like to say, well, you know, I'm not feeling that great. You know, you could be about to die, but you must always understate. That means say something in a way as if it's not important in British culture.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because if you ask an American how they feel, how are you feeling today, and they're okay, they'd say, yeah, awesome, man. I'm feeling awesome. Full of beans. I'm feeling great. And if you ask a British person, it's not too bad.
Too bad.
Can't complain.
I can't complain. But the opposite also, if a British person's feeling terrible, they won't say that. They'll say, I'm not the greatest.
I've been better.
I've been better. In fact, they've got hours to live, you know? Whereas America will say, oh my God, I'm going to die. I feel terrible. The Americans are more honest.
Reza and I would like to take a couple of minutes to tell you about something we like, and that is iTalki. iTalki is a website that you can go to have a one-to-one personal teacher. You can find native speakers on iTalki from all over the world, and you pay them to teach you English. You don't generally pay them anywhere near as much as you would a face-to-face teacher or studying at a language school, because these lessons are on Skype. They're convenient, they're affordable, and Reza and I definitely recommend you give iTalki a try and see if you like this method of improving your English. We've both tried it, we both like it, and we think you should give it a go. Just give it a go. So iTalki are offering 100 free credits, which is more or less one lesson. So you buy a lesson, you get one free, to each paying student who registers through our website. So for more information, go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki. And Reza and I would like to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Craig, let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's tell a few jokes about doctors. We don't want you to misunderstand us. Doctors are extremely important people, and when you go to visit the doctor, you should be very serious and say clearly what the problem is. But, you know, for some reason, doctors are the butt of jokes.
What does that mean, the butt of jokes?
There are a lot of jokes based on doctors or experience with doctors. Yep. Mm-hmm. And how they treat patients, or about the patients being quite peculiar. I'm sure they exist in many languages, and in English we've got plenty as well. Let's tell you a few and see what you think. Let's see if you get the joke. If you get a joke, that means you understand why it's funny.
So what, are you going to be the patient and I'll be the doctor?
Okay, we could do that. We can change it. I'm the patient, first of all.
Okay,
so here are dialogues. I'm the patient, Craig's the doctor. Doctor, everyone keeps ignoring me.
Next.
Doctor, can you advise me about condoms for family planning, please?
Condoms? Certainly, sir. There are three sizes of condoms. We have small, medium, and liar. Mentiroso.
Doctor, as you can see, I have five legs.
No problem, madam. Just wear these special knickers here. They'll fit you like a glove. Shall we explain that? Knickers are underwear for women.
Bragas.
And to fit like a glove, con guante. Do they say that in Spanish? It means to fit.
Quedar como un guante. Yeah.
Ah, it's the same. It's the same, yeah. So they'll fit you like a glove.
Perfect
yeah.
fit.
Doctor, I think I'm a dog.
Would you please get off that sofa, sir?
Doctor, I have a piece of lettuce coming out of my bum.
I'm afraid that's only the tip of the iceberg. Bum is anus, your bottom, your posterior.
Culo. An iceberg is iceberg.
Iceberg.
Iceberg. Mm-hmm. And also a kind of lettuce. That's where the word play comes in. So there's a play on words there. Doctor, on my bum, I've got a big bruise that looks like a strawberry.
Ah, I'll give you some cream to put on it.
What's bruise in Spanish?
Una morada.
Mm-hmm. When you hit your skin and it changes colour, yeah. Doctor, I've eaten something that disagrees with me.
No, you haven't.
If something disagrees with you, it goes against your metabolism, it's causing you indigestion problems, it's maybe you have a slight allergy, so... Another play on words. Yeah.
In Spanish, te siente mal.
Te siente mal. I think our audience has suffered enough for one day, yes. Reza. We'll leave it there.
As the doctor might say to you, you've been very brave. It's all over now.
You've been very patient, patience. Remember, if you have a question for Reza and I, or an idea for a future episode, we would love to hear from you. Just send us a voice message. And tell us what you think. You can send us your messages at speakpipe.com. That's SPEAKPIPE, speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. Or you could send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And remember, you can find our show notes for this episode at inglespodcast.com/107. If you'd like full transcriptions of everything we say, you could become one of our Patreons to help us raise money to pay somebody to write all of our words on our website. To do that, go to patreon.com/inglespodcast. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, Reza, who are...
Lara, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran from IVNV Podcast, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And on next week's episode, Reza and I will be speaking about air travel, traveling by air. So don't forget to listen next week. Have a wonderful week. And until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And bye-bye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.